The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. One of us is wrong here. The other is Peter Boyles on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Running real late because we went late in that last hour. Good morning, everyone. 5 minutes after the hour, 705, 710, KNUS. We are Denver's talk station. Good morning, everyone. 710 KNUS Weather Center weather. It's a good one. 54 will be the high. Tomorrow, 43, and Wednesday is the cold day. The good news for skiing is Winter Park opens on Thursday. Some of the areas are all opening. They're struggling with how to do it, but Winter Park opens on Thursday. Wolf O'Reilly's coming up. In the meantime, the new column is up, Cherry Creek Chronicle, our Christmas wishes. Go to the website, 710KNUS/Peter Boyles, and look at the page. This man has been so tremendous to us. He is one of the more brilliant people we have on the show, Dr. Benjamin Tenover, closer to a vaccine. So first of all, hey, doctor, thanks for doing this again. Really means a lot to me and to the audience. One more time, welcome back.
Of course, happy to be here.
You're terrific. When I knew we were going to talk, and I was saying, well, how could we call this? We're going to title this the Vaccine Update. And I know, I know that you yourself have been inoculated, correct?
Correct.
No ill effects. Did you do the?
No, I actually, my wife and I both went into the phase 3 clinical trial, and so it's a blinded trial. So you know, the physician or us are aware of whether or not you're getting placebo or the vaccine. We were part of the Pfizer vaccine trial, but the truth is that the control is just saline. So it's just basically salt water. And the vaccine is a new technology, something called messenger RNA. It's basically like you can think of it as a computer software program. And they inject it into your arm, and your cells pick it up, and they run that software. And they make a piece of the virus, which basically informs your immune system of what the virus looks like. And so it does, because it's RNA and it's a very artificial, different system, your body reacts to it. And so both my wife and I the next day felt like our arms had been punched quite hard. For me, it was, I would call it mild at best, but for my wife, she had a headache and had difficulty actually moving her arm for that day, but then it was fine. And then for the second boost, 3 weeks later, you do the same thing all over again. And actually the second time I felt nothing, and my wife also didn't react very heavily to it, which I understand is actually the opposite. Most people don't react very much to the first one and react more to the second one. But the truth is that was it. It was a little bit more intense than an influenza vaccine, but not significantly more. And now that the trial's over, well, at least that arm of the trial is over, because I run a COVID lab, I actually checked the antibodies that my wife and I have, and they are sky high.
Wow.
So we are officially immune to this virus.
How does the vaccine for COVID-19 actually work, doctor? How does it work?
So there's a number of different flavors, but the two that are most prominently in the news right now is Moderna and Pfizer, which as I was mentioning, is a new technology. And so the premise of every vaccine works by the fact that your body has a natural ability to determine what is self and what is non-self. So very early on in your birth, your body makes a large inventory of everything that your body makes everywhere and every tissue and every cell and says, okay, this is me. And then anytime it sees something that's not one of those things, it reacts to it, it gets inflamed, and then it creates an immune system that remembers what it looks like and will always attack it if you ever get it again. And so the old way to make a vaccine is just to take a virus, any virus or any bacteria or anything that you wanted to mount a response to, and you destroy it at its nature. So you boil it or you add a compound to it so that it's not infectious anymore, but it still has a lot of its pieces left. And you just inject that into the arm. And your immune system will see it and say, well, I didn't make that. And it will mount an immune response to it because of where it is. It's in a very, you know, if it was in your stomach, it would not. But because it's in your arm, your body will mount an immune response and without the, you know, the associated disease that comes with it. And so your immune cells will remember it after that. And then if you ever actually encounter the real pathogen, your immune system is ready for it. And so this one from Moderna and Pfizer is basically just that, except that instead of taking the virus and destroying it and injecting that into you, it took a different, much more molecular approach to instead write the software so that we can make your cells make just the most important piece of the virus that we want to teach your immune system to recognize and react to, which is in this case the spike protein on the virus surface.
Our guest, the one and only Dr. Benjamin Tenner, but can you give this vaccine to someone who's sick with COVID, and then what would happen?
You could, but it wouldn't work because it takes too much time. So, I mean, right now, this Moderna and Pfizer vaccine, you get one shot, you wait 3 weeks, and then you get a booster. And that booster is really necessary because the truth is part of the reason why that's necessary is that the first response is not so aggressive. So your body sees this foreign thing and will mount a response to it.
Okay.
But because that thing isn't actually inducing any damage, it's not killing any cells, which is a good thing. That's why you're not getting sick. It also means, though, you don't build up the same amount of education that you would have if you actually encountered the virus. So when you come in with it again, now your immune system is kind of tricked in believing, hey, whatever this was, you know, the response I elicited 3 weeks ago is not good enough because it's still here. And so then it mounts a much more aggressive response. And so if you actually had COVID and got the vaccine, you know, over that three-week time course, you would deteriorate rapidly. And by the time you were making the antibodies, you would have been doing that naturally to the natural infection anyway. So basically you're 3 weeks behind in that case.
You've been so terrific to us, Dr. Benjamin Tenover, and I became a reader about viruses, and I found out there's all kinds of places you can read histories and changing things, and that viruses have controlled history many, many times in the past. And so will this vaccine mean the end of the pandemic? And I go back and read about what was called the Spanish flu, and I got a follow-up with that. Will that be an annual shot? Like, I just got my old guy flu shot about 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, maybe, I don't know, 4 weeks ago. But you're right, it felt like somebody punched me in the arm. Will this become an annual? What if the virus morphs? And will,
right.
Yeah, a bunch of questions in there, yeah.
So the short answer to your question is it depends on how many people take the vaccine. If we can distribute it to, 60% of any given area, we will achieve, which I'm sure many of your listeners have heard of, as referred to as herd immunity, which means there's not enough people statistically in a community to allow the virus to be maintained, in which case the transmission cycle gets short-circuited and we could get rid of SARS essentially forever. It might have little spurts here and there, but overall, this would be maybe like a polio shot where you get once in the beginning of your lifetime and then you're immune forever. This is not the kind of virus that mutates readily and can dodge the education. So if you educate your immune system against, you know, the spike protein and then the spike protein changes, then that education doesn't matter anymore, which is what happens with flu. But because SARS-CoV-2 belongs to this family of viruses called beta coronaviruses, these are really large viruses that have to essentially have a spell-checking service built into them. And so they are prone not to make spelling mistakes. And what I mean by that is it's the spelling mistakes, which in this case translate to changes in, you know, this protein, the spike protein that allows you to get into your cells. So if that protein changes just randomly, not by design, it can get around your immune system. And so in the case of influenza, instead of a spike protein, it's called a hemagglutinin protein. And you can educate your immune system to fight off a given hemagglutinin, or, you know, we often refer to them as H1, H2, H3. But as soon as the virus makes a few spelling errors on that while making that hemagglutinin, it can now make a hemagglutinin that can still get into your cells, but now your immune system doesn't recognize it anymore. It just totally disappears. And so it has to start all over again with the education process. But because SARS is the virus that it is and is so large, it generally does not make those kind of mistakes. And therefore, this vaccine should be very effective for a very long time, as long as everybody takes
it. So it won't be that once a year annual shot, or you don't believe it will be?
No, it shouldn't be. It should be one and done.
Wow. Getting it out, and who gets it? I read all of the stuff on the internet, and people have different conclusions, and they certainly, the frontline healthcare workers are first. How do they do it, and what happens after that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think they're actually certain yet. I think the priority has been agreed upon. As you mentioned, the healthcare workers will probably go first, or I would say the healthcare workers probably go simultaneously with people over 70 or those with comorbidities, because those are all the people who are at greatest risk. And I think the distribution will largely follow the same kind of distribution chains that both polio and influenza follow. So, you know, straight from the manufacturer, and then they're going to go from there into the same kind of distribution protocol that. You know, probably the polio vaccine is probably a better example. So at this moment in time, the youngest, I think, that you can get vaccinated is 12. So basically the healthcare workers, the oldest and with comorbidities, you know, those who are younger who might have comorbidities, you probably need a doctor's note or something to state that they do qualify for this higher priority level. And then after that, we'll go back to the healthy population. And ideally, we'll get to kids eventually, but we'll have to do some more clinical trials to make sure it's safe.
Because polio, the kids went first. And that's really, interesting.
And yeah. I'm sure if this virus, you know, harmed children, they would be first in line as well. But thankfully, it seems to spare kids because the protein responsible for virus entry really turns on during puberty, which is why this all happens.
Yeah.
So basically, all kids before puberty basically they can get the virus technically and they'll test positive for it, but they won't show signs of disease and they don't really show signs of being major spreaders. So this is also the impetus for why it's important to keep at least the lower school grades open, because it does more damage than good to close them.
I agree. Dr. Benjamin Tenover is here. He's been a wonderful guest through all of this. What if people had COVID? Should they also get a vaccine after that? I mean, these are things I've been thinking because I knew we were going to talk. So,
It's a good question. Yeah. So I would say that if you had symptoms of COVID and recovered, you probably don't need the vaccine.
Oh, wow.
You will actually have very good antibodies, and you'll actually have a greater variety of antibodies. So one of the problems with one of the limitations of getting vaccinated with the Pfizer or the Moderna technique that we were talking about is that I'm only going to educate your immune system how one protein looks. But obviously, if you get infected naturally and recover naturally, you learn more than just that one protein. So your antibody response will encompass, you know, five or six different major proteins. And so your immune response is actually even stronger than what mine would be. The one counter to that, though, is that if you get infected when you are basically an asymptomatic person and you only found out because you got tested, that's a different story, because that means that your natural defenses, so there's like this frontline defense that doesn't involve teaching your immune system anything. You have kind of your first grade defense is simply, you know, throw a brick at it, and sometimes that works. And if that works, you end up being asymptomatic, then it would probably be good to get the vaccine, because if it didn't really challenge your immune system is unlikely to even bother trying to remember what it is.
Do you still mask up even though you know what you've been through? And then what will happen? Will people continue to wear masks? Because I've listened to people to say we'll be masking for another year, possibly more. Your thoughts about that, doctor?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure the answer to that one. I definitely mask up. I mean, I work in a hospital and I'm in New York City, so I really mask up to prevent judgment. It protects me from judgment now.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Big time.
So, yeah, mostly I do it just to set a good example. Like, I know, there is another dynamic here which we don't know the answer to, and it is possible. So I have been vaccinated, and if you really want to get into the weeds of it, I have taught my immune system how to make one particular type of defense. So I don't. This is probably more biology than your audience needs to know, but it has an important point at the end.
Listen, you're great. Please.
So we are this one. When I say we teach our immune system, the product of that lesson are the production of things called immunoglobulins or IgGs. And there's all different kinds of IgGs that go into different parts of your body. So I taught my body how to make the best, most neutralizing antibodies called IgGs. So these things are in my lungs, they're in my body, and they are going to be really hard to bind and kill the virus when they see it. However, one of the reasons that I'm bringing this up is because there's another Ig called IgA. And IgAs live in your upper respiratory tract, in your mucus. All the snot that you make is full of this particular type of antibody. And so usually if you get the infection naturally, you'll teach your immune system how to fight and recognize the virus, and you're going to make IgGs and IgAs. So you'll have antibodies everywhere.
Wow.
But in my case, I only make IgG. I don't make IgA. Mm. And the reason why I'm telling you all of this is because we're not sure yet. We have to. This will require more study and more people. But it is possible that I can still get the virus only in my nose, basically, only in my highest upper respiratory tract, because my IgGs don't get there, but my IgAs would. But since I didn't make IgAs because I did this unnatural system, it's possible that I can actually harbor virus in my nose. It's also possible, although not very likely, that I can even spread it to other people, even though I'm vaccinated. So I'll show no signs of disease. I'll never get sick. Neither would anybody else with a vaccine. But should, say, I get this and then meet a 70-year-old with a comorbidity, I would be a danger to that person. And for that reason, it's probably still pertinent to wear a mask until we're sure that that doesn't happen.
One more last one. Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, yeah. Please.
And I asked that about my flu shot. And I didn't, like, how long after I got the shot, or how long will it take for the vaccine to begin to protect me? In other words, you've been through this. How long before you were protected?
Good question.
Yeah. I love talking to you.
So if you were infected and were asymptomatic and then got the vaccine, as I suggested, probably within a week after that, you'd be protected.
All right.
If you were like me and you never got the virus and you got the regular vaccine, so you got one shot, you would need that 3-week period to get the booster, and then you'd be protected. Basically, the day after that, you'd probably be fine.
And
Of course, these other vaccines are coming online. So, Johnson & Johnson's vaccine and the Oxford vaccine, and those are all going to have slightly different dynamics. Like the one-shot vaccine from Oxford, that should basically protect you within 2 weeks of the shot. So I would say, on average, it's always going to be between 1 to 3 weeks after the shot.
I think we'll be spring skiing together.
I hope so. That sounds great to me.
Winter Park, which is where I ski, learn to ski. Winter Park opens Thursday. Vail's open. Aspen's open. There's all these stipulations and conditions, and you can only imagine gondola riding and chairlift riding.
I guess gondola, that's going to be a tough one.
Oh, man. But my friends have already skied. I haven't. But Thursday, Winter Park opens, and I know you're a skier. We've talked about it when this thing comes. I owe you. You've been so terrific to the show. But I'm figuring – Winter Park in March is like, there's nothing better.
I will be there. I am dying to get on a plane and do some traveling.
But, you and I.
Yeah.
You
too. Now let's buckle down. Let's all get vaccinated, and I will see you then.
You're the best, doctor. We'll talk again in about 10 show days. Thank you for your time.
Sounds great.
You too.
Have a great week.
You too. The guy's brilliant. The guy's turned us on here. Read this, read that. 303-696-1971. Open lines, and then Winfield Riley's on the show. Again, Winter Park opens Thursday. The new column is up on the Chronicle column, our Christmas wishes, 710 Kane, just Peter Boyle's our page. The great way to save lots of money, and this is the ultimate family gift, free TV. Everybody's locked down. I watched more television, read more. I mean, it's what you do. You go to the gym and you go home and you read and watch TV. The TV's mission, educate and empower and help. I just burped on coffee. Look, this, I don't know how it works. It doesn't matter. It matters that I save a whole bunch of money, and I'm stunned by the abilities of this free TV system and what it can do. I found I was bored to tears Saturday night, and I'm just goofing through it, and I didn't even tell Billy this, the history of Ric Flair's wrestling matches. And there's another new documentary out called Great Heels of 50 Greatest Heels of Professional Wrestling. Billy, I watched it. 50 Greatest Heels. And it goes back in the late 40s. And if you're a geek like me, you're going, where else am I going to see this? So I encourage you to get educated, start saving a bunch of money every month for your cable bill. Go to the website, learn more, FREETVEE.com. What a wonderful family gift. Call them to get them. They'll come all COVIDed up and protected and put this in your house, and they'll get you out of your other deal. 303-794-8600 is the gift of the year. Number again, 303-794-8600. You want a great family gift, FREETVEE.com. Give them a call this morning.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. We now return to the Peter Boyles Show.
Monday morning, everyone, the 30th of November, 2020, 710 KNUS. Wilf and Riley on the radio show. The good news, Winter Park opens Thursday. 54 the high today. A bunch of stuff to talk about. And I, again, talking about the Front Range media and the weak sisters that have their hands on the throttle. We were off for a couple of days, and thanks, Randy, did a good job on Friday. DPS school board member Tay Anderson announces that he was canceling his Thanksgiving plans, would cook with his brother, and who jumps in and sucks up, of course, Kyle Clark. Then what does it turn out to be? Well, he is angry because his brother is not going to have Thanksgiving with him, but my God, he's going to have Thanksgiving with a white woman. Tay lamented, as I'm reading here, that his brother chose to celebrate Thanksgiving with a white woman. Never got anywhere. Blank. Imagine Tancredo, who has been the whipping boy of Front Range media for generations, saying something that stupid. Tay got away with it. The next one, and again, you come back to how things are treated, how people are treated. Jared Polis won't disclose how or where he got COVID-19. Again, as you know, the first gentleman and the governor are now positive. Okay, great. Now, no one's asking. No columns are written. No attack pieces are done. Yet here are the questions. What? Somebody said it was none of your damn business. I love this stuff. If you compare and contrast the treatment of Donald Trump when he and his wife and his son were tested positive for the virus. As people have said, his every movement prior to his positive test was scrutinized. The president was criticized for infecting other people. Turns out, what about the governor? Was the governor wearing a mask? Did the governor affect anyone else? What about that question? Never mind. For 9 months, Polis has been preaching to prevent the spread. Now he's got it. Gee, how did that happen? How did that happen? The next one goes without even saying, Mayor Michael Hancock. Look, you guys, I've told you for 12 years who the guy is. Now, suddenly, someone's shocked that he would put a con on you or run a grift. The guy's been grifting since before he got elected. He was grifting in Players and Sugar. All right, it's Monday, your turn. What do you do with this? 303-696-1971. Ski resorts are opening. WP opens. Vail's open. Aspen's open. A bunch of other ones are open. The snow's coming. It's going to get snow this week. Larson Ski and Sport. God, I'm so glad to be able to say this. Make sure you have all your gear and everything's ready to get out there and have some fun. We'll try and get Sky on the show. Maybe opening morning for Winter Park. The guys at Larson's take their time to get to know you and the family. Match you with all the right brands so you can enjoy your time on the hill. It's going to be a difficult year. We're talking to Dr. Tenover, you know, gondola riding and chairlift riding and all that kind of stuff. And my son was talking about skinning, people that just walk up and ski down. The guys at Larson's will take time to get to know you and your family, match you with all the right brands. If you got little guys, rent. Nothing's going to fit next year. And Larson's has a solution for you with rentals for the whole season. If you rent skis for the season, and I don't know why you would do this, but you want to go try snowboarding. Bring your skis back and they'll hand you a board. Whatever you need, they'll make it work. Helmets and goggles and jackets and snow pants and all kind of boarding stuff and boots. And I mean, they just know exactly what they're doing. Boot and foot and feet heaters and hand heaters, you know, glove heaters. I got all that stuff because I'm all frostbitten stuff. And these are the big guys. Easy to find. You're going westbound on I-70. Get off on the Kipling exit. Come down the ramp. and then make a left. Come back under I-70. Head south. Look to your right. As soon as you come out of the tunnel, on the right-hand side, big wooden building. There they are. They're Larson Ski and Sport. Same thing. You're coming home. You're coming eastbound. Stay on the ramp getting off on Kipling to stay south. Right on the right-hand side, on the west side, side of the mountains. Boom, there they are. Larson Ski and Sport, 6 days, seven days a week. LarsonSport.com, LarsonSport.com, LarsonSport.com. Billy, where are we going here? Okay, I see. We got one line open. We have Eric. You're on the show. Good morning.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, man.
Back in June when you let me on your show when Brother Jeff was on, and I initiated, you know, I had asked Brother Jeff, was Tay Anderson a racist? And that's when he responded he didn't think he was. But, you know, it's a fact of the matter. After he said what he said on this tweet with his brother having a, you know, Thanksgiving dinner with not him, but a white woman, that just shows his true colors. And I had asked Jeff that, you know, back in June.
Well, if you're going to make Jeff responsible for Tay, I don't think that's...
No. I just asked that question, Peter,
Everybody knows who Tay Anderson is. If you can't figure out Tay Anderson is a racist, then go home and get another job. But my question is the media coverage. If you can't figure out Tay Anderson, Kyle Clark, if you can't figure these people out, you're either lying, conning, grifting, even maybe you're conning yourself or your station. But DPS school board member Tay Anderson said he's canceling his thing. I'll read this to you. This is from Colorado Peak Politics. He's married to peace. DPS school board member Tay Anderson announced last week he was canceling his Thanksgiving plans and would instead cook dinner with his brother. Nine News host Kyle Clark replied he's looking forward to reading about any problems Anderson had here on Peak Politics. He's already anticipating. So Kyle Clark, he jumps in this. He's who he is. And Kyle's giving him best of luck with dinner. Kyle Clark is cruising this as well. Turns out Anderson did encounter problems preparing Thanksgiving Day dinner with his brother. Namely, Tay Anderson lamented his brother instead chose to celebrate Thanksgiving with a white woman. He subsequently deleted the tweet, but not before a few eagle-eyed users rightly questioned why it'd be hurtful for Anderson to have a family member celebrate Thanksgiving with someone of a different race. George Brockler gets in on it. The deleted tweet followed earlier statements upbraiding Mayor Hancock for hypocritically traveling over Thanksgiving, a PR gift for Anderson, considering he's involved in with the mayor over the search for the new superintendent, who they ran out. That's Susan Cordova. So the real question is whether Colorado Press will muster the courage, and they did not. So go ahead.
You know, Peter, back in, 919 in the suburbs at Johnny Choate's neighborhood back, you know, when Tay Anderson was in charge of the, protest that he had, harassed us when he was calling Michelle Malkin names and such, you know, with the bullhorn. And then Stephen Tubbs had went out to Johnny Choate's house, you know, the neighborhood that day when they had, you know, protested, as you well remember. And that's where it targeted. I mean, that's where it first started back in June.
It started way before then. Way before then.
Exactly. In 2019, when, you know, all that stuff when the vice president was there and they took down the American flag at the ICE facility and put up the Mexican flag. And then Tay Anderson was right dead square in the middle of all of that racism he was in my ear with the bullhorn.
Okay, if anybody hasn't figured out Tay Anderson now. But the point is, no one is covering Tay because it's not a politically correct story.
He should be fired, Peter.
Well, of course he should, but it ain't going to happen. The point of this is, and the only person I can single out is Tom Tancredo. If Tom would have ever said, my brother was going to have Thanksgiving with me, but he chose to have it with a black woman. Lead story on Channel 9, 4, 7, The Deuce, The Denver Post, Westward. It would be a lead story. And now it's like, oh, never mind. But the same thing is true. when these guys took on Trump, Donald Trump, when his wife and his son tested positive for the virus. No one's asking Paulus, where'd you get it? What'd you do? Did you spread it? Did you wear your mask? Not a question. So, of course, again, when you, I appreciate the call. When you think it through.
Okay. As a black man, Peter, you know, I have a beef, you know.
I don't think black, white.
All right. Okay.
No, I mean, it doesn't matter. Stupid and wrong and truthful and right don't carry a skin color.
Absolutely.
This is all.
It's a double standard, and it should stop.
But it isn't. Ask, have you seen a column anywhere calling out Jared Polis? No. I mean, compare.
And then, Hancock, you know.
They're accepting his apology. They're making it right for him. That's what the press is doing now. Listen, man, be safe. All right. COVID has led more people to use credit cards for everyday expenses. It's totally fine as long as you're paying attention to your monthly statement. 17% interest, your bills add up. It's tough to get out of high interest debt. Sounds like your current situation. I want you to take a moment to think about mortgage refi. Our friends at American Financing are known for helping homeowners save up to thousands of bucks a month simply by consolidating their debt into their mortgage. It's a strategic solution. Do it once and you really can work. You got to call American. By the way, the number can move. You can lose it. You got to call American Financing. Who knows what's going to happen in a change, but there's no pressure, no upfront, no hidden fees. Simple conversation around ways to manage your debt better. Lock the number in today, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. Apply online, AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182-334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate, 303-695-7000. I love the people who say, I'm never going to listen to your show again, and they come back and send you another message. We'll be back right after this with the update from Alpine.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. We now return to the Peter Boyle Show.
Monday morning, everyone, the 30th of November, 2020. 54 will be the high, starts to drop tomorrow. And it looks like Wednesday, we're going to get only into the 30s. Stephen Tubbs this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Amy joins us from Alpine. Looking at the numbers, what do we got?
Morning, Pete. And happy Monday. Back to reality for everybody after the holiday. So currently, we are looking at the Dow Jones off about 235 points and the S&P similar type of performance, down about 15, NASDAQ negative by 20. Nothing much to be concerned about here because obviously today is Cyber Monday. Projections are just over the top with people choosing online buying versus in-store purchases. But here we are, Pete. This is the last day in November, and the Dow is on track for its best month of performance in 33 years. Since 1987. So basically the Dow up 12.9%, not including today's numbers. And the S&P and NASDAQ have had really good gains as well, both over 11% for the month of November. So, you know, the nice numbers, as Brian and Gabe and I say, don't always tell the full picture. If you were just going to index, it would have been a nice ride in November, but certainly a very unpleasant one earlier this year. So as always, we're keeping our eye on things, planning for the ups and downs. And if anyone wants to talk through it, just give us a call.
303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. Investing is a matter of trust. Watch the market. Alpine Planning. Amy, Brian's there. Everyone's there. 303-843-0918. Check in. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thank you.
You got it, Pete. See ya.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
54 will be the high today. The new column's up from the Cherry Creek Chronicle. Go to 710KNUS/Peter Boyles. Go to my page, hit the, it says columns, Christmas gifts and wishes. All right, we go to Tim. Tim, you're on the radio show, man. Good morning.
Peter Weistraw. Don't refer to you as the devil's son-in-law. How you doing, brother?
I am the devil's son-in-law.
Hey, you know what? These companies, Merck, Pfizer, Eli Lilly, please explain to me, like I'm a mental midget, how about 10 years ago, these guys were indicted, fined $2.8 billion, the largest fine in history. They're going to come up with the vaccine to cure us. These are the guys that gave us Synthin. These are the guys that addicted tens of millions of dollars. We're going to trust their vaccine?
First of all, I would trust their vaccine. Number two, their job is to make money.
Right.
No, serious. I mean, the notion of a firm, of a business.
Is to make money.
To make, absolutely. I mean, whether it's a radio station or a car dealership or a drug company, they have to make money. If they don't, they have, you know, and then you get into that Marxist model where the state controls stuff.
Understandable. And, yeah, understandable.
Yeah, no.
However, when you're killing tens of millions of people, addicting them, and doing those things, you know, but, I understand we need something. I understand that, but how can they be trusted?
But it's like, look, when they made those pain pills, you think that somebody sat down and said, what we're going to do is make these and get everybody all over the world addicted to them. No.
Well, you know, that's debatable. They knew it was
but there's a from opium through morphine to heroin. I mean, there's a history, and the best example to look at is what the Chinese did, what the British did with opium to the Chinese with intent.
Right. Yes.
That they did that intentionally to run the, but I don't think for a second that Pfizer or anybody, any of these firms decided, okay, you know, because they were making pain relief is what they were doing. And people found out, hey, this stuff will get me high and keep me high. And, you know, it's the same thing with, you can do it with Valium. You can do it. Well, I was a Valium addict. That was one of my, one of my drug problems was Valium. And that Valium wasn't put on the market to get some stupid talk show host, you know, addicted. You know,
well, yeah, I agree. But when you look at the doctors and the pharmacists, well, the doctors mostly writing the scripts, overprescribing them. Well, they have to know sometimes.
Well, sure.
To see those drugs were, were addictive and causing problems.
No, I have a friend that went into detox for that exact reason. But there are other doctors that they won't prescribe. Look, I mean, there's an individual responsibility, which is being overlooked by people like Hickenlooper and Hancock, where all these people on the street, drug addicts and street alcoholics, they have no responsibility.
Right,
there's a responsibility factor in my drug use or my alcohol use that it was on me.
You have to take responsibility for it.
Sure.
However, you got to take a company that 10 years ago, they were wearing the black hat. And all of a sudden, they're the savior.
I'm
a little suspicious.
Not defending, but they were attacked. Okay, all these people became addicted, and it's the fault of the manufacturer. It's like, watch what Joe Biden's going to do to the Second Amendment. They start taxing people on guns, so they tax the corporations, they tax everybody, they attack them. And it's like blaming guns. Chicago, this weekend in Chicago, was unbelievably brutal.
That's my hometown. Follow it closely.
All right, so is that Smith & Wesson's fault?
No, of course not.
Well, then
not. Why
is this somebody's fault? Why
well,
is...
I wouldn't say it's their fault, but what I would say, they got to take some culpability, and how can you trust them?
Well, I trust them. Yeah. And again, they made a product that people found out, and they mulled them in from Mexico. They were labs in Mexico. They were making them illegal. The cartels were running that stuff up here. You can read the history of what they did, but again, from going from opium to morphine to heroin was pretty much a military product because guys were so terribly injured in the American Civil War, and then guys were so terribly injured in the First World War and then in the Second World War, and it led into these drug problems. Southeast Asia led into big drug problems. It's misusing the product.
Right. Well, we got to remember with methamphetamines, you know, Hitler used that to keep his pilots
going. They invented it.
So that was intentional. So how can we say that these guys are not?
Well, don't you read about the Air Force giving them go pills and stop pills? The pilots?
Yes.
Who did that?
Yes.
I mean, forget Adolf Hitler for a moment.
Right.
But those go pills were given to American pilots.
Right, to keep them going all night.
And there you go. All right, man.
All right, my friend. Take care, buddy.
I love you. Thank you. All right, on the other side, Wolf O'Reilly's on the radio show, and we'll talk. And again, I want to look how weak the Front Range media is. There were three great stories, and they were shocked and surprised that Michael Hancock would pull a stunt like that. I love no mention of school board who deletes this racist tweet about his brother with a white woman, and compare and contrast Donald Trump, how he was treated and how the governor was treated with COVID-19. and then you're going to listen to them for the news? Quit it. Hang on.
There are three ways to reach the show. Call us at 303-696-1971. Text us on the free-to-download 710 KNUS app. Or send us an email. Just go to the Peter Boyles page at 710knus.com and click on Email the Show.